بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يبعث كل عبد على ما مات عليه. رواه مسلم. We've come to the last hadith on the chapter which began some time back. باب الحث على الازدياد من الخير في أواخر العمر. Just to remind us or reiterate the chapter, the heading Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brought, the chapter with regards to increasing one's good deeds, in other words, increasing one's exertion in amal, in doing good deeds, fi awakhir al-umr, in the last stage of one's life. If you have to analyze and look at that heading, increase your good deeds in the latter stages of one's life, obviously no one knows when his maut is going to occur. And one thing is certain, with the passage of time, we are going closer and closer to our maut. We are getting older. To put it crudely, we are getting older every day. Now we are encouraged that in the latter part of one's life, increase one's good deeds. So what is the underlying meaning? That a Muslim can never ever become complacent. There's no such thing as we take our foot off the accelerator. But what is Quran and Hadith teaching us? We have to increase all the time. Our exertion, the level or the effort that we were making last year compared to this year has to be more. This concept or idea of increasing all the time is something we understand in the commercial world. When it comes to business, there is no businessman, if his shop did as well this year as it did last year, that will be happy. He wants his shop to do better this year. The entire commercial world, they are constantly making this effort to increase all the time. It's unfortunate when it comes to our deen, you'll hear something like, a person will say that, you know, mashallah, Fajr, alright, that's a little bit too difficult for me, but I'm making my other salah. Or if somebody feels that he's set a target of 5 salah a day, then he says, you know what, I'm making my 5 salah, I don't make tahajjud, I don't make ishraq or anything else, but at least I'm making my 5 salah. In other words, we form a mindset or an idea that of complacence, of taking it easy. What we have to understand is, like the period for the development of a fetus is in the womb of the mother. That 9 months or whatever period that fetus is there, that is its development period. If it achieves perfect development during that time, alhamdulillah. If there is any defect or any shortage or any deficiency, once the child has to come into the world, it is very, very difficult to address the deficiency or shortage. The period for us to make our akhirat, our jannat forever and ever, is this life now. Here we cannot afford to become complacent. I remember when our jamaat was in Jordan in 1995, when we went to the markaz in Juza, which is Gharbul Amman, that is the western part of Amman. When we arrived there, one of the zimedars, he sat with the jamaat. And the first thing he told us, this was more than 20 years ago, but it stuck in my mind. The first thing he said, this concept or idea that a Muslim can have a holiday, or that a Muslim can take it easy, or that a Muslim can take his foot off the accelerator, he said, banish that from your minds. There is no such thing as a holiday. There is no such thing as taking it easy. He says, taking it easy, holiday, relaxation, that is in the qabr. Thousands and thousands of years you can sleep there, relax. And in fact, if you live the right type of life, there it will be said, nam ka nomatil arud, sleep like a bride sleeps on the first night. In other words, no fikr, no parishani. So that is there. In the dunya, we cannot take it easy. And we find that the subject matter is found in many, many ahadith that is found in this hadith, which Imam Nawawi rahimullah has mentioned. The narrator, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, he says, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبَدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. That the condition in which you will die, in other words, in the last stage of your life, Allah will resurrect you according to that. This similar meaning found in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your actions will be judged according to your ending. What was the khatima? At the last stage of the life of this person, what was the level of his dindari? What was the level of his taqwa? What was the level of his piety? In other words, if I am pious when I was young, it does not mean when I get old I can take it easy. What is the last stage of the life? We find that This was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would make this dua, اجعل خير عمري آخرة وخير عملي خواتيمة. Oh Allah, make the best part of my life the last section. خير عملي خواتيمة. Ya Allah, make the best actions I do, the actions at my khatima. When I'm leaving this world in the last stage of my life, let that be the best actions. Why? Because hashar will be according to that. Many ahadith, like I said, كما تحيون تموتون وكما تموتون تحشرون. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as you live, your mort will take place like that. And as your mort and your death takes place, you will be resurrected like that. Now if you analyze this hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how you are at the ending, Allah will resurrect you according to that. Allah will judge you according to the ending. On the one hand, this hadith is basharat. It is a glad tiding. Glad tiding for who? If somebody is sharabi, kababi, far away from deen, he's got all the wrongs, he's a drug addict, or he's involved in liquor, or he's involved in zina, na'uzu billah, Allah protect us, or he's involved for whatever gunas and sins. His life may be far away from deen. He may be hooked onto that shaitan box till late at night, sitting and looking at haram and nakedness. All sorts of bad habits may be there. For this person, this hadith is basharat and glad tidings. Why? Because what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? Correct yourself, make sincere tawbah, bring your life onto deen. Whatever happened in the past, Allah will wipe it away. Why? Because you will be judged according to what you were at the end. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. What was at the end, Allah will judge you according to that. So don't worry about the past. Whatever wrong you did in the past, make sincere tawbah, Allah will judge you according to the end. You will not be tainted. In this world, if somebody has got a criminal record, till his mort, it will be held against him. Apply for any visa anywhere. Do you have any previous criminal convictions? They worry about the earlier stages. Islam doesn't worry about the early stages. Islam looks at the end. Allah, out of His mercy, looks at the end. Never mind what you did in the past. You made tawbah, you are correct now, you will be resurrected according to this. On the one hand, basharat. On the other hand, there is a severe warning in this hadith. There is a severe warning in this hadith. What is the warning? It doesn't mean that you are muttaqi. It doesn't mean that you are deendar today so you can take it easy. You are deendar today. Allah is going to judge you according to what is the end at the end. So you can never ever, the muttaqi can never become complacent. The gunegar has got glad tidings in this hadith that there is still a chance. If I reform myself, I will be judged according to the ending. And we find a classical example of this point that Allah will resurrect you according to your ending. What type of life you lived, your mort will be accordingly, and according to that, you will be resurrected. One incident under this chapter, or to illustrate this very, very famous incident, we had heard it before possibly, is mentioned about Imam Abu Zur'a, rahmatullah alayhi. He was a great muhaddith, a great scholar of hadith. Such a memory Allah blessed him with, that he said on one occasion, he said to his students, not out of fakhr and pride, but tahdith and ni'mat, that he is making bayan of Allah's favor upon him. He said, like how you people read Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, with the ease by which you remember Surah Ikhlas, with the same ease, I can remember 200,000 ahadith. 200,000 ahadith, I can read like how you read Surah Ikhlas. That kind of life he lived. Elderly, he passed away at old age. When he was on his deathbed, in and out of consciousness, his students are sitting around him. They are also muhaddisin in their own right. Also great scholars, Muhammad bin Salma, Abu Hatim, Mundhir bin Sha'ban, they are sitting around the ustad. Ustad is in and out of consciousness. He's on his deathbed. They are fikr man now. How can we make his talqeen to recite kalima? We are advised, when somebody is in the last stage of his life, you don't go and tell him, hey, bhai, read kalima. Because we don't know what he's going through. That is a very, very hard and a very delicate period. Some places, some kitabs, ulama have written that people will be tested very severely at the time of mort. To such an extent, one alim writes that some people, Allah protect us, will go to such a hard test that they will have experienced such a thirst, the waters of the oceans of the world will not quench that thirst. And shaitan will present himself with one bowl of water and say, recite kufr and I will give you this water. So such a difficult test, Allah protect us, some people will go through. So this is a very delicate time. So Ulama say that don't force the person. Recite the kalima loudly so it falls on his ears, so he will be indirectly encouraged to recite the kalima. If you instruct the person, recite kalima, and because he's going through some pain, he says, no, I'm not prepared to, or whatever, he may from iman go to kufr. So they make a tarqib type of life. What was his ending on? He was a muhaddis. His entire life he had devoted to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Muhammad bin Salima says, straight away sitting in front of his ustad, and he begins his bayan or his chain of narration of a particular hadith. He says, Haddathani Dhahhak ibn Mukhallad an Abi Asim an Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far an Salim bin Abi Gharib, and he stops. Abu Hatim begins his narration of the same hadith. Haddathani Bundar an Abi Asim an Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far an Salim bin Abi Gharib, and he stops. This falls on the ears of Imam Abu Zura, who is in the last gasp of life. But his whole life was hadith. So it falls on his ears. So he begins in that condition. He makes bayan of his chain. Obviously his chain was one higher than their chain. They began from Dhahhak ibn Mukhallad and Bundar. He begins from one above. Haddathani Abu Asim and Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far and Salim bin Abi Gharib and Kathir bin Murra al-Hadrami and Mu'adh ibn Jabal and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah. He says this hadith, the person whose last words are la ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah, and he passes away. This was يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will resurrect you according to the ending. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. What is your actions will be judged according to the ending. As you will live, your maut and your hashar will take place in that condition. And we find that it is appropriate that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ends this chapter. The chapter, what chapter? Encouragement to increase one's good deeds in the last stages of one's life with this hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Allah will resurrect you in the condition that you will leave this world.